and we begin inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala, amma ba'd. Start off, some of you might know this story, but it's Ramadan time and I just love telling this story. When I was 11 years old, I just completed learning how to read Quran. And it was the Ramadan break, and after Ramadan break, I'd start memorizing Quran after that. So what happened was, you know, I'm in Ramadan, I'm making dua, and then I realized, here's the last 10 nights of Ramadan, let me make dua for memorization of the Quran every day of the last 10 nights. And as a young boy, I was like, my dua is going to be answered because I made the same dua every day for the last 10 days of Ramadan, and one of them has to be Laylatul Qadr. My dua that I made, and actually there were some other things that I mentioned in the dua. The dua I made amongst it was to memorize the Quran in 2 years or less. And 2 years after that, I completed memorization of the Quran. Now, recently, a couple of years ago, I used to tell people the story when I was young. And then I realized, hey, you know what? Ramadan comes every year, and I could do the same thing every year. Why does it only have to be once? And so I made it like a habit that I start off Ramadan with the end in mind, like what do I want to get out of this Ramadan? And this is what, inshallah ta'ala, what I wanted this session to be, is so that we can together strategically plan Ramadan. And this is one of the benefits of Discover You Life. A lot of people might talk about strategically planning, but they never get around to doing it. You know, they just talk, and then they never do it. But here, you're on the call, and we're going to do it right now, inshallah ta'ala, so that, you know, within this hour, bismillah, we'll have a plan for Ramadan. And if you want a plan afterwards, you're most welcome to do it. But if anything, you have a plan after this call, inshallah ta'ala. Cool? Like I said, a few years ago, I started doing this like every year for Ramadan. And what I actually started doing, I didn't wait for the last 10 nights of Ramadan. I actually started making my ultimate Ramadan dua list at the beginning of Ramadan, and there's actually a time when our du'as are answered. Obviously, all throughout while you're fasting, it's time when your du'as are answered, and specifically at iftar time. A lot of people at iftar time, they're like, you know, munching down on dates and drinks, and they're chatting or they're eating, but you'll see some people, they put a date into their mouth, and then they raise their hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that's the time when dua is answered at iftar time. Now, something is that right before iftar time or during iftar time. Allahu alam, you might be like, you know, the moments leading up to the Maghrib adhan, or immediately after that, put a date in your mouth, raise your hand and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all good. So you might want to, after we make our dua list for this Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala, on this call, you might want to look into making that same dua every day for the entire month of Ramadan, during the iftar times and obviously during the day. You'll get so used to the dua that you'll have it memorized, and inshallah ta'ala, you know, let us know how it goes. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the person. All they have to do is just make the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer it, as He promised in the Quran. Okay, so what happens when someone doesn't have a destination? You've heard me say that about goal setting all the time. If someone doesn't set their goals, doesn't set their destination, then guess what? They're going nowhere. It's like going to an airport counter and the person says, where is your flight to? And you're like, I don't know. Then where are you going to go? You're going nowhere. And a lot of people hit Ramadan like, let's plan for Ramadan, and they talk about the virtues of Ramadan, but the majority of our Muslim community knows jack about what they're trying to get out of Ramadan. They don't know. So they just, they're fasting in Ramadan and so on, occasionally going to the masjid. When there's a, you know, khatm al-Quran, completion of the Quran, they're there. But you'll find that there's only a small group of people that consistently focus on their, on just going for tarawih. But what are they actually getting out of Ramadan? If they haven't made up their mind about what they want to get out of it, then chances are they might get something, but it won't be as targeted and as direct as it should be, inshallah ta'ala. I want you to give you a glimpse. I used to, when I was younger, I called this the behind the, or backstage pass to someone who's leading the tarawih prayer, what they go through. And of the different things, because I lead the tarawih prayers and I know what it's like to, for people who lead the tarawih prayers, here's some of the things that has to happen. During the day, we have to review Quran. You just can't get by with, well, you know what, right before Salah, I'm just going to, you know, review for 5 minutes and then lead the prayer. It's not happening like that. The person has to review properly. So there's this massive emphasis on reviewing Quran during the day. When in Ramadan time, after Fajr, I'll like stay in the masjid for about an hour, and nobody stays in the masjid after Fajr, except the person who's like leading the prayer later on in the day. So that's a glimpse. The other glimpse, you know, backstage, of someone who's leading the prayer, at iftari time, the person who's leading the prayer doesn't have that much time to go visiting people, right? Now, Ramadan, traditionally, our community is dinner parties. Now, here's the question. Was Ramadan meant to be a dinner party extravaganza? Was that the whole purpose of Ramadan? And Ramadan, the nickname for Ramadan is Shahrul Ta'am, the month of feeding, like feeding needy people. But it became Shahrul Ta'am, the month of food and eating. And so people, it's like they haven't eaten this much until Ramadan time comes. And, you know, they're going out for restaurants and they're feeding people and there's a dinner party here, dinner party there. So most dinner parties, I'm not actually able to go to the dinner party because I'm leading Tarawih. And then the couple of iftari parties that I do go to, I have to leave immediately because there needs to be time to memorize the Quran. There needs to be time to, like, relax a little bit so that I can have full energy for the Tarawih. What I notice when I go to those iftari parties is that the people who are sitting there, they overeat. And they have there's no concept of time, and as soon as it's coming near to Tarawih time and I have to go, they're like, well, we have to wait for the tea. And guess what? They never show up to the masjid, or they show up late, or they show up so stuffed that they can't even breathe. This is the other thing. If you're leading a prayer, you know exactly that you cannot eat the type of meals that people eat in Ramadan time. You can't eat those meals because you'll die if you're leading the prayer. The food will come up into your chest and it will choke you because you just can't eat that much food. Now, the people who are praying behind the imam, they eat that type of food for the first couple of days of Ramadan, and then the food takes over. They're not able to pray Tarawih anymore. And so they start saying, oh, I'm feeling tired, oh, blah, blah, this excuse, that excuse. But really, it's like Ramadan became a time of eating. And now to give you an understanding that Ramadan was not meant to be a food extravaganza, like a food cultural festival or something like that, it wasn't meant to be like that. The Prophet ﷺ did i'tikaf for 10 days in Ramadan. I'tikaf is seclusion from the community. It's seclusion in the masjid. And in some years, the Prophet ﷺ did i'tikaf for 20 days of Ramadan. Out of the 30 days, he did 20. So someone will say, well, what about, you know, these dinner parties and so on? 20 days, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't attending dinner parties. The Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid, and that's where we want to be, inshallah ta'ala. In the if you go to the masjid and look at the dynamics of the masjid, on the first day of Ramadan, the masjid is full. Everybody's all excited. It's like a new gym membership. They got their shoes on. They got their, you know, clothes ready, and they're there for the first day. The second day, the numbers significantly go down. So Ramadan, and actually, subhanAllah, this is an amazing thing about life. I'm just getting like a gem here. If you're in a race, a marathon, there will be a lot of people watching you in the beginning and a lot of people watching you at the finish line. But in between the starting line and the finish line, you're by yourself. Or there's very few people. You're on your own. And that's life. People will meet you at the end and they will meet you at the beginning. But in the middle, those are where the leaders live. It's in the middle. It's in the journey. Ramadan time, in the beginning, the Tarawih, there's always people. The masjid is packed in the beginning of Ramadan, and the masjid is packed at the end of Ramadan. People coming in at the start of the race and at the end of the race, but you want to be there all throughout. You want to take the journey all throughout. I've noticed that there are certain people who pray Tarawih as consistently as the imam. They don't miss any prayers. They're always praying in the front line. They don't miss any rakahs. And those are usually, I don't know about how it is in your community, but in my community, at least in the communities that I see, those are like the uncles. is like a couple of uncles, you know, whatever nationality, and they're always there in the front line. Now the question is, how do you get to that type of status if you haven't memorized the Quran? How do you push yourself into the zone where you're benefiting from Ramadan as much as the Imam or even more, inshallah ta'ala? So we'll do a little activity right now, bismillah. What I want you to do is, if you're in like the right situation, I want you to like stand up. If you're in your car or something, obviously you can't stand up. And if you're in your car, just be careful and pay attention to driving. You can listen to the audio later, inshallah ta'ala. I want you to like stand up. Now I want you to imagine floating up nice and high. Take a deep breath and float up nice and high. You're floating up high, 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 above the clouds. And you're going, almost like the timeline therapy that we did, but this time you're traveling towards the future. You're traveling towards the future, and you pass the month of Ramadan, and you go, you know, you breathe all the way, and you're right after the Eid prayer. You're truly celebrating Eid, and what I want you to do from that position is look back towards now. Look back towards now. And imagine that this Ramadan that just passed was the most amazing, life-changing Ramadan of your entire life. It was the most amazing Ramadan of your entire life. Inshallah ta'ala, discovery of life had something to do with that. Inshallah. It's the most amazing Ramadan of your entire life. Now ask yourself, what was it about this Ramadan that made it so amazing? What was it? And get specific. What did you do this Ramadan that made it so amazing? Someone's going to ask you, so what did you do? And you say with the biggest smile, I did. And say it to yourself. You can say it out loud to yourself. What did you do this Ramadan? It made it so amazing. It made it so life-changing. Was it an ultimate dua list that you had? Was it a big chunk of Quran that you memorized? Was it the focus on the Heartwheel journal that you took care of every day to fill it out? What was it for you? Okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to magnify that vision. I want you to take it to the next level. If you have this comment, I'm going to read a couple of verses in Tarawih and skip this and skip that and forget that vision. I want you to intensify that vision and take it to an unrealistic level, just a little bit unrealistic. Something that it's just right outside of your comfort zone. What did you do this Ramadan? It was just a little bit out of your comfort zone, a little bit unrealistic, but it gave you this huge burst of emotion and excitement and energy for Ramadan. What did you do? What kind of a person did you become during this Ramadan? How did you do it? You might not know exactly what you did, but I want you to get a feeling for it. That someone will ask you, what did you do? You might say, well, I'm not quite sure, but it was the most amazing Ramadan of my life. And I want you to remember all the memories of you crying in Tarawih prayer, crying while reading Quran, feeling that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that the gates of Jannah are open during Ramadan, and the gates of Hellfire are closed, and you've been called to enter into Jannah. Okay, now with that vision, I want you to intensify it. I want you to step in to someone that you respect. Someone that, you know, just magnify the vision. Step into an updated, upgraded vision of what you have and take on the eyes, take on the body. Step into that vision and notice what's different about this vision. You're stepping a little bit into the unrealistic. What is it about this vision? What did someone else do? And now you're adopting their vision. And you're making it yours. What would the Sahaba do in Ramadan time? Radiallahu anhu. That's cool. Now what I want you to do is imagine another you with an even bigger vision, extracting from the righteous people in the past and what they did in Ramadan, and seeing yourself intensifying your vision, making it that much stronger for this Ramadan. What specifically did you do? What's different about this vision? Is there more kind character in this vision? Is there more love passing through? Is there cleaning up of old sins that haven't been taken care of but just lingering by? Have you made commitments in your life? What kind of commitments? Okay, great. Now, with that type of vision, I want you to say to you, I want you to picture yourself doing this, and you have a purpose. What's your purpose in doing this? What's your intention in having this type of Ramadan? What are you going to get out of it to have this type of intention for Ramadan and doing this? What are you going to get out of it? Why did you do this? What kind of benefit came to your life, came to your health, came to your family, came to your entire life when you focused on dua and Quran and increasing your character, good character with the people, your outstanding character with the people? Why did you do this? I want you to sum it up in one sentence. The reason I did this was because... That's right. Okay, great. Now what I want you to do is pick some 30-day goals, some Ramadan goals, that by the end of Ramadan, looking back towards now, these are the goals that I achieved by the end of Ramadan. What was the goals? What are some other goals that you want to? Maybe you have some memorization goals. Maybe you have some relationships with people that have been cut off, or possibly they're not as great, and you want to make up with those. Maybe you have some tarawih goals. How many tarawih days are you going to be praying? What time are you going to be in the masjid? Do you have plans for i'tikaf this year? Maybe you didn't and you want to do that this year. Maybe try it out if you never tried it before. Some qiyamul layl goals. You made the intention to wake up for suhoor every day because you know that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged it so strongly. What else? Maybe you've got a TV in your house that needs to go on vacation. Permanently. What else? Some 30-day goals for Ramadan. Okay, what I want you to do right now is go back to that vision. You're at the end of Ramadan, and the good news about all of this is you get to live this vision every day of Ramadan. So I want you to travel back up nice and high and travel all the way back to now. And back into your body here, what I want you to do is sit down and write out your vision, your purpose, and your goals for Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to give you about 1 minute, and then after that I'll open up the lines if anybody has any questions. But what I want you to do is like sit back and just start writing. What was your vision? What was your purpose? And what were your Ramadan goals? I'll give you exactly 1 minute. Just start writing, and then I'll start answering questions 1 minute from now, inshallah. And when you sit down, make sure that your back is up straight. Don't, like, slouch down. Sit up straight in your chair and write it out nice and strong. Okay, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to unmute everyone. So, inshallah ta'ala, if you can, if you've got that breeze coming in on your phone, just mute yourself. If you don't have a mute, you can press *6, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so someone has any questions? Alaikum as-salam.
Sorry, I jumped the gun. This is Basil from Columbus, Ohio.
Go ahead, Basil. Alaikum
as-salam. How do we, Ramadan is a time that's very, like, if we really want to maximize it, it seems as though we really have to put on hold a lot of our other activities that we're doing in our community. So what community, our personal life, and so on. Is there a general advice or strategy on how to do do that without, like, falling behind on our projects, work, whatever? I mean, it seems like Ramadan is a demanding time if we really want to get these maximum benefits. That's my question.
Okay, it brings to mind the issue of, like, what Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to do. When Ramadan time came, he would leave aside the teaching of hadith, and he would focus primarily on the Qur'an, the teaching of Qur'an, all of that, the focus on Qur'an. So there's nothing really wrong with putting stuff on hold to work on your heart, to work on yourself, and so on. Inshallah ta'ala, things won't get put behind because everybody is, like, on the same way. Like, if you've got people in your organization, they're all busy focusing on their hearts and focusing on themselves in Ramadan, taking care of themselves. Hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, at the end of Ramadan, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts, and the person was blessed with an accepted Ramadan, they'll have barakah in their time after Ramadan. Like, their heart will expand so much that after Ramadan, they'll have so much extra time, so much extra energy, so much, you know, strong intentions and motivations that inshallah ta'ala, there'll be like double after Ramadan to make up for it, inshallah.
JazakAllah.
Next question.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam. The brother, go ahead. Your name?
Zahir, should you have like different du'as for throughout the Ramadan, or should you be just making same du'as regularly each day? You know how you said about flexibility and try new things and try different approaches? Should we apply that to du'as, or does he have different du'as like first 10 days different, last 10 days different to us?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, while you're writing these goals out, I want you to, like, write out your dua list as well. Like, write it down, the things that 30 days from Ramadan, this is what you're going to make dua for, like, all Ramadan, and just start writing it out, not worrying about whether you can achieve this or not, but rather focusing on the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to guide you towards these things. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, all your dua will be answered if you make it sincerely, whether in this world or the next. If it's in this world, your dua, you're either going to get what you made dua for, or you'll get something that's better for you instead of it, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from harm even though your dua didn't get answered. And if it wasn't even answered in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hereafter, your dua will be answered. And the slave will come on the day of judgment, and they'll see that, you know, all this reward was there for them. And then they'll say, what is this, O Allah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is your dua that wasn't answered in the dunya. And then that slave says, you know, they wish that none of the dua had been answered in this dunya, that it had been saved for them in the hereafter. And so no matter what, don't hold back in making dua. These 30-day goals, you might be focused on, this is what I want to do, this is what I want. Things that you want to do, forget, that's part of it, obviously, but you want to put in what du'as you want to make this Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. Try to get, like, a list of 6 things that you consistently make du'a for this whole month. And back to those workshop sessions that we did on Discover Your Life, probably about 2 weeks ago or something, you want to go back to those different categories of your life and make that a part of your dua list, inshallah ta'ala. And then all throughout Ramadan, making dua for that. Your question, Rahil, can you be flexible about it? You can. There's no problem with that. My style has been to change my dua, but when the constant dua that I make, it's like I change it every couple of months, but then I just focus, like, intensely on making that dua. Sometimes, you know, on an inspiring night or something like that, I'll be increasing and making dua for other things, but the general default dua that I'm making is, like, the same one again and again. Allahu a'lam. But that's just me. Other questions? There was a sister, you had a question?
Yes, I wanted to ask 2 questions, actually. The one is about itikaf. If you're living in a community, your sisters aren't allowed access to the masajid, can you do it at home? That's number one. And the other thing is about the raweeh. Okay, in South Africa, mostly sisters are not allowed to go to the masjid, but even when you are allowed to go to the masjid, then there's a phenomenon where the imam, if he reads at a really easy pace, the musallis complain, and then he's instructed to read really, really fast. So you don't really get any spiritual enjoyment out of that. Would it then be better for you to pray at home?
Okay, a couple of things with regards to that. Number one is that my guess is that maybe a lot of messages in your area do what you're talking about, but my guess is there are messages that do allow it. Like, so there might be messages that have itikaf for women, and so I would just say it might be a little bit further from your house, but you just go and do itikaf there. and it shouldn't be a problem. You might be talking about sorry?
I promise you they aren't. It's not part of the custom in our community. They say women should do it at home.
Okay, basically in i'tikaf is done at the masjid. I'm not sure about, like, Hanafi madhab. From my understanding, and I may be wrong, is that they allow i'tikaf for a woman to be at home, and that's probably why they're doing it. Allah alam, in the other madhabs, i'tikaf can only be done at the masjid. But that doesn't mean you can't pray Qiyam al-Layl, which is the night prayer, and spending up a night. It's not the same as i'tikaf. I'tikaf is like reserved for the masjid, but inshallah ta'ala you still get the reward of praying all night long. So you try your best. If it doesn't work out, then khayr, you're still praying all night long, inshallah ta'ala, the most special night. Your second question was related to imams praying quickly. And here's the thing. Nobody's going to, there's not some blue beam of light that's going to come down and strike you with spirituality. You have to make the circumstances for you to increase your spirituality. If you went for Hajj, you could say the same thing that, there's crowds, there's people on their cell phone and I can't concentrate. Or if you had a family member die and you could care less about people on their cell phone, you're focused on making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the spirituality comes from the inside out. And so you just take your circumstances and turn your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every situation, no matter what's happening, can be a cause of you increasing your iman, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah a'lam. Next question. Who's got a question? Is that it? No more questions? I'll give you 3 seconds. That cuts you guys off.
Go ahead. This is Umber. What were the 3 we're supposed to write? The vision, our goal, for Ramadan?
The vision, the purpose, and what you're trying to achieve out of Ramadan, like your 30-day goals for Ramadan. The importance of the vision is you want to have a general picture of what you're driving towards and get a feeling for, and you have like your destination in sight so that you're consistently moving towards it. Your purpose is, why do you want this? Because when your friend says, hey, let's go out to this restaurant instead of tarawih prayers, or let's go masjid hopping and not like be consistent or something, then that's where your purpose comes in. Why do you want to do this? Or are you just going to get distracted by any friend of yours that's not as committed as you are? And then comes your 30-day goals. What are you trying to achieve out of this Ramadan? And part of that is like name drop to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going back to like your goal setting workshop list and pulling some of that stuff out and then making consistent dua that you make dua for at iftari time or maybe waiting for the last 10 nights. Obviously, I wouldn't recommend waiting for it. You want to take advantage of every night. But in the last 10 nights, making like consistent dua and long duas, inshallah ta'ala. Long. I'll take like one more question. Someone has a question.
I have a question about tarawih. I'm not clear on it. As far as men praying in the masjid, is it required for them to pray in the masjid? I mean, some people sort of are shocked if a man doesn't go to tarawih. It's like it's hard, and I'm trying to understand what is required of the men, specifically for my husband who's a convert to Islam.
Okay. With regards to praying in the masjid, no, it's not fard, and the person does not have to pray tarawih in the masjid. The goal that the person should be doing is they should be like working on increasing their iman and their ibadah in Ramadan time. And now I imagine that if someone doesn't pray qiyam in Ramadan, then like when are they ever going to pray it? So that's one side of it. You'll also see in the past that they would complete the Quran multiple times in Ramadan. Like, they could complete it, 30 times in Ramadan or 60. You have stories like that. And then when you look at our day and age, like, sometimes masjids, they don't even complete the Quran even once, in their tarawih. And then everybody's just kind of like, let's just chill out. There's no reason to rush. Let's complete the Quran over a period of 3 years or something like that. And, I've been bounced from masjids for trying to finish the Quran in 1 month. So, the standards have changed. So they would say that, no, you don't have to go to the masjid, but if you pray at home, realistically, is your salah going to be more focused, or is it going to be less focused? And chances are, because you're not in an environment with like-minded people, with people, you know, aiming to increase, you know, and pray long and so on and so forth, then there will be this tendency to weaken the salah and skip it altogether. A person gets tired, they just sleep early, they'll say, I'll wake up later, and then they don't wake up, and then Ramadan passes by, and that's just a glimpse of someone who might not have had a clear destination in mind when they started Ramadan.
Right. Okay.
Okay, cool. All right, so we'll move along, inshallah, ta'ala. I'll just mute everybody. What I want to do right now is make a dua, a Ramadan dua list with you guys. Some of the goals you may have started off with from our old, like, workshop session, old, which meaning 2 weeks ago. What I want you to do is imagine this. You can stand up again if you want for this moment. And imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And that's exactly what the Quran says, and the verses are speaking around the verses regarding Ramadan. Ujibu da'wat al-da'i ila da'ani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I answer the call of the caller, the dua of the person who makes dua, ila da'ani, if he makes dua to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Those verses are actually in the verses related to Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He'll answer the call if you make the dua. So the question is, are you going to make the dua? And have you like sat back and prepared your dua for Ramadan? So this is what we want to do. You're standing up right now. What I want you to do is imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ask me whatever you want from the goodness of this life and the next, what would you make dua for? And I want you to start getting a list. What would you make dua? You got, let's imagine you have 1 minute to ask anything you want. And that nothing is hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know that. Any dua that you can make, it is absolutely the ultimate easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how big, no matter whatever you ask for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do it. What would you make dua for? Let's kick it off. And you can just start saying it out loud. And after you say something, skip it and go to something else. What else? Things that you want to be, things that you want to do, things that you want to have in this life and the next. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Asking from the goodness of this life and the next. What would you ask for? جَنَّةِ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. For those who aren't married, here's your chance. Make dua for that spouse. For those who need to start off a business, so that they can live their dreams and do what they need to do, make dua for it. To the max, you've got 1 minute to make all the dua that you want. What else would you make dua for? Things that you want to be. Who do you want to be? A person of upright, righteous character. How specifically? Maybe you've got an anger issue. You want to be patient. Masabirin, those who are called from the gates, the patient, or enter Jannah. Maybe there's a social service project that you want to succeed. You want to benefit. Maybe you're just thinking about what you can do, but now here's your chance to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you want it to turn out? That's right. What else? Things that you want to have. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to be married to a certain person. You want a certain type of home. You want a certain type of car in Jannah. A certain type of home in Jannah. Asya alayhi salam, she said, رَبِّ بِنِي لِعِنَّكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. She said, oh my Lord, build a home for me in Jannah beside you. Prime real estate. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعْمَلِهِ. From the goodness of this life and the next, what do you want? Keep going. What else? Maybe things related to your health. What do you want for your health? What do you want for your family members' health? What do you want for your education? What do you want for your children? If you don't have children, what kind of children do you want? Young men and women by your side that you raised became servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, great. What I want you to do now, you've got an idea, you got your vision, ultimately what you want to achieve for Ramadan. What I want you to do is sit down in a peace state. You want your back straight up and start writing down this list and just brainstorm it. But just keep writing. I'm not going to unmute everybody for about 2 minutes to give you a chance to write as much as you can. And just do that, and then I'll tell you what to do after that. So sit down and start writing it out. Go for it. I'm going to write mine out too, inshallah. Keep writing, go for it. Make sure your back's up straight. Write as much as you can. Don't forget to make dua for your brothers and sisters as well. Those who are oppressed all around the world. Give me like 30 more seconds and then I'll open up the lines for questions, inshallah. Alright, cool. As you're writing this out, I'm going to open up the lines for questions. Someone has questions. Keep writing. So if you're listening to questions, and keep writing, inshallah ta'ala. Alright, who's got the first question? Where is everybody writing? The lines are open. If someone has a question, welcome to ask. I hope the lines are open. Can someone just say wa alaikum assalam just so I know the lines are open?
Wa
alaikum assalam. Okay, the lines are open. Okay, everybody's writing. Okay, a moment of silence.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yeah.
Do you know when you're making dua, yeah? Some people always tell you to add when you're asking Allah for something, so to say, oh Allah, bless me with such and such, if it's good for me. Should you always add the if it's good for me part, or can you leave that out?
Okay, when someone's making dua, they're making dua for like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal yazim al mas'ala," meaning that if they're making dua for something, they shouldn't be like, "Oh Allah, if you want, give me this." What you're talking about is, you know, if this is good for me, then give this to me. That's kind of like, it's a weak way of making dua, but it comes into effect when a person's praying istikhara. So if a person's making istikhara, that's when they say something like that, and then after they've done istikhara, then I would say, make dua full force, and if it's not good for you, Allah will keep it away from you anyway, inshallah ta'ala, because istikhara was already done.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Alaikum assalam.
I'm sorry, I'm not clear. What is the difference between the first list that we made and the second list? Is the second one lined up the same way in terms of vision, purpose, and goals?
Okay, the first one was related to what are your goals, what are you trying to achieve out of Ramadan?
Uh-huh.
And, for example, someone might say, well, I want to memorize, I want to finish the Quran recitation-wise in Ramadan. I want to memorize, like, 10 juz in this 1 month. I want to fulfill my family ties. I want to pray decaf and so on. That was, like, the first thing. That's, like, the goals. And the ultimate vision is, like, you know, in Ramadan time, my heart increased, this, and that. And you want to, like, complete the heart wheel journal, putting, you know, dedicating your time to doing the activities and so on and so forth. Now, what I'm talking about here is plain and simple your dua list. What are you going to be making dua for in Ramadan time? So you're making a list of the things you're going to be making dua for from the goodness of this life and the next, things that you want to become, things that you want to have, things that you want to do in this life and the next. You make that list so that, inshallah ta'ala, throughout Ramadan, you can be making a concentrated dua, and you have this focus. Every time you have a moment to make dua, it's like on target. You're raising your hands and making dua.
Okay.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
How specific do you need to get when you're making dua? Like, what if you say, "Oh Allah, protect me from all the major sins"? Is that good enough, or do you need to make something specific? Like, "Oh Allah, protect me from shirk and protect me from my parents," or something like that.
I think both of them would work. What comes to mind is, like, there's some specifics in the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was, like, this companion that came, and he said, "I don't know how to make this, like, these fancy duas that you and another companion make." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What do you ask for?" And he said, "All I ask for is, oh Allah, enter me into Jannah and protect me from hellfire." And the Prophet ﷺ said, all we're doing is circling around that exact dua. So, like, everything, all the details and all the specifics is circling around the dua of enter me into Jannah and protect me from hellfire. So if you go specific or general, some people, they get super duper duper specific, and then that might be a little exaggerated when they do that.
Yes, exactly.
Like, for example, I'm just something that comes to my mind. Someone will say, "Oh Allah, you know, protect my pinky finger. Oh Allah, protect my middle finger. Oh Allah, protect my index finger. Oh Allah, protect my thumb." When they could just say, "Oh Allah, protect my hands from committing haram," and this is done. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Allah Anam.
Jazakum
Khair. Okay, so you probably got your dua list, a good chunk of it, kicked off, and you've got your, you know, your ultimate vision for Ramadan and your goals and your purpose for it, inshallah ta'ala, and that's awesome. What I want you to do right now, I want to give you some tips on how to stay healthy in Ramadan. There's a, like a quality assurance survey that a lot of you filled out, not everybody. If you haven't filled it out, please fill it out, inshallah ta'ala. Let me just mute everybody. On that survey, I noticed a lot of people, one of their number one goals, actually this is the one that everybody chose the most, was health goals. was health goals. And there's nothing greater than coming into Ramadan and benefiting health-wise. As the Prophet ﷺ said, صُمُوا تَصِحُوا, which means, you know, fast and you'll become healthy. And subhanAllah, Allah, you know, this is like the maintenance for the heart and maintenance for the body comes in fasting. So here are some tips on how to maximize your benefit from the fasting. I actually, I went to some health mastery seminars. These are like big seminars. I took it in like, in California. And I was sitting with the doctor who was like taking my blood test and whatnot, and I talked to the doctor about Ramadan fasting and how it compared to, we were doing like a type of fast, which is a kind of like a liquid fast that we were doing at this event. And I talked to the doctor about Ramadan fasting, and I came up with, you know, back and forth with the doctor, basically you want to maximize your health in Ramadan by following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If you follow the sunnah, you'll become healthy, inshallah ta'ala. If you find yourself getting lazy in Ramadan and getting weaker and weaker, chances are that you're not following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as recommended. So take these tips. If you got notes, prepare for this. You must wake up for iftar. I mean for suhoor. You have to wake up. You cannot sleep in for suhoor. You have to start your day having eaten something. That's going to fuel you through the day. If you, you know, oh, I'm tired, I can't wake up, oh, you know what, I skipped another day, then your fasting has started basically from the time you went to sleep. And if you do that, you're just going to have no energy during the day, and then you're going to break iftar with this huge meal, which is going to knock you out. And then you're going to be just knocked out, and then you're going to fall asleep, and you're going to miss suhoor the next day. So step number one, you have to have suhoor. You have to have it, and it's not some fatty, acidic, like oily food, leftovers from last night's iftar dinner or something like that. Have a proper suhoor, have some dates, have, you know, a slice of toast, have some peanut butter on the toast or something like that, but something like healthy, right? Okay? And preferably have like green stuff. What happens is after that, the person starts their fasting, and that's awesome. You want to be moving. A lot of people, they have this tendency to sleep the whole day of Ramadan time. You don't want to do that. You want to be moving. When you move, it creates oxygen in your blood, it creates energy. So going to the masjid, you know, doing your activities. Ramadan doesn't have to be a time where you just knock out and you're not doing anything. You just pick up your energy, inshallah ta'ala. So don't cancel activities that you're doing in Ramadan. Actually, be courageous. And, you know, I'm not saying overburdening yourself. You'll see when the Muslims used to go out into battles, sometimes they go into the battles fasting, sometimes they break their fast to, you know, bring in their energy, but you have, like, both situations. You're coming into Ramadan time, realize that Muslims have done way more than go to school fasting. They've done much more than that during Ramadan time, so believe me, you can do it. At iftar time, okay, so suhoor, you've guaranteed that you wake up for suhoor. It's sunnah of the Prophet, I'm not saying that it's fard, but you've got to wake up for suhoor. At iftar time, because you've been fasting, your body is kind of like slowing down and whatnot and replenishing and taking care of you, people slam themselves with a meal at iftar time, and your body goes into this, what are you doing to me, right? The body, it's so shocked that it immediately has to shut down your whole body so that it can process the poison that you just stuffed it with. Because people stuff themselves with the samosas and the biryanis and the, you know, the meat, and that's just, you know, before Maghrib prayer. They're just before the prayer. That's what they eat, and then after Maghrib, they're back for another meal. What you gotta do is, like, your regular plate, I would actually say a tea saucer, right? You know what a tea saucer is? It's that plate that's underneath the teacup. That's the plate you should be eating on. That's the plate you should be eating on. Try to put, you know, as much food as you can on that plate, but don't go more than that plate. And eat something like that. Maybe have some soup, maybe have some salad, and then that's it until after Taraweeh. So your body has, you know, some fuel to pick up, to perk it up, and then you're focused on reading Quran, your goals, and so on and so forth, and then go for Taraweeh. Go for Taraweeh and, you know, focus on, you know, the recitation, the learning, the tafsir of the Quran and so on and so forth. We're talking specifically about health issues. When you come back, you want to go to sleep early. So some people might be talking and chatting. If you pray Taraweeh, go home and go to sleep so that you can wake up for Suhoor. Ramadan might be a time where people like to stay up late and sleep during the day. You do not want to get into that habit. You want to perk up your strength so that inshallah ta'ala when the last 10 nights come in, you'll be able to, you'll have more strength during that time, inshallah ta'ala. And so basic thing is, as well, that during the times when you're not fasting, between Maghrib and Fajr, you want to pump in the water. Just keep drinking, because most of the day you're going to be fasting, you might forget to drink water. I would say try drinking like 2 liters of water, 2-3 liters of water, when you're not fasting. Just make sure your body is like super hydrated, super hydrated, and if you're eating your suhoor and then you're eating like a normal, calm iftar, and then after Taraweeh, if you want to have a small iftari again after Taraweeh, that's fine, and you want to make sure that you're focusing on like green foods like salad and watery type of foods, inshallah ta'ala. Watery meaning like water-based foods. Allahu a'lam. Alright, and the last thing before we finish the call, and then I'll give you a chance to ask questions, but the last thing before we finish the call is, you have the Heartwheel journal that I sent out today, inshallah ta'ala. This is my special Ramadan gift to you. The Heartwheel journal, some of you might know the Heartwheel by itself. I used to send that out, and I've shared it with a lot of people. No one has seen the Heartwheel journal. It's something that I made for myself, and there was like just one brother, and I think I shared it with like 2 more people. But I set this up for myself, and there's different features to it. There's the vision, there's the purpose. You fill out the heart wheel, and then at the back of the binder, at the back of that PDF, there's a page where you mark your salah progress. Like each day, you're filling out on a scale of 0 to 50 how good was your salah. And that's just a perception in your mind. How good did you perform your salah? Did you pray on time? And so on and so forth. You just want to follow along with the journal, try your best. There's things to read. When you see the Quran and Hadith, there's a blank spot there. That's for you to listen or to read the that kind of like intro to each day, which is like a reminder, like a khatira. And then you have to go out and find a verse and find a Hadith that relates to that topic. So it gives you a chance to interact with what you're learning. And then on the heart wheel, you'll like plan for the day. What are you going to focus on in your heart wheel today? It might be like focus on your fasting, focus on your sadaqah, focus on your upright character, and so on and so forth. And then you go through the month, day by day by day, like that, inshallah ta'ala, focusing on your heart. Use the heart wheel to give you some guidance on how to specifically increase your iman, inshallah ta'ala. It's a PDF download. For those who haven't, I sent out the email, inshallah ta'ala. It's on the DL news section. You'll find it. It says download now. That's the DL interactive. It's a new feature that inshallah ta'ala we're implementing so that we can have direct communication between me and you, inshallah ta'ala. As soon as you download the DL interactive, the first message that's going to pop up in your face is the link to download the Heartwheel journal, inshallah ta'ala. It's a PDF attachment. What I want you to do is like print it out on your regular printer, then go to a special printer shop and tell the guy to photocopy it front to back, meaning like front, back, front, back, front, back. So it'll get smaller and it'll be more more organized, inshallah ta'ala. As well, then tell him to bind it for you. Bind it and put like a nice hard cover on the front so that inshallah ta'ala you can carry it with you to the masjid and it can be in front and you write on it, inshallah ta'ala. Don't keep it on your computer. Print it out and have it bound, inshallah ta'ala. That's your task for like tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. So your heart wheel is ready to go. Inshallah ta'ala, you'll benefit greatly from that. Bi'ithillah. Alright? So we are done for tonight's call. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah ta'ala, I'm gonna unmute everyone. So if anybody has any questions, you're welcome to ask. But we are done officially. Assalamu alaikum. Who would like to ask a question? Anybody have
Hello.
Any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Come
on. Walaikum assalam.
Just one quick question I have. How do we manage the, in Ramadan, our sleeping time will get reduced, like after we come from Tarawih, it will be 10, 30, 11. How do we manage, and we wake up for Suhoor, and we pray Qiyamullah, and the average sleeping time will be reduced. How do we avoid that nagging, drag-off feeling that we get during the day?
Well, inshallah ta'ala, like, you can sleep during the day, like, 2 hours or something like that. You don't want to oversleep during the day, but you can use the daytime sleep to give you strength for the night prayers, inshallah ta'ala. The main thing is you don't want to sleep all day long, but having, like, an afternoon nap, I mean, the intention of that is so that you have more strength during the night. And one of the things that you're going to learn, inshallah ta'ala, in Ramadan is that you're capable of sleeping less. So that's a lesson that a person can take outside of Ramadan, that they sleep too much and they can sleep a lot less than they think they can.
I have one other question. The September 8th, it's going to be the first month after the discovery started. For those of us who have registered just for 1 month, so we have to renew our subscription before that day?
The subscription is automatic, so it's going to automatically upgrade you, you don't have to do anything. It'll automatically do it, inshallah ta'ala.
But if you want to do it for 1 year rather than monthly, do you have to do something?
Yeah, if you wanted to do 1 year instead of monthly, if you just email, like, the billing section on the support ticket, and they'll explain to you how to do it, inshallah ta'ala. Other questions? I think a lot of you guys are muted, and that's awesome, but I think you have to unmute yourself before you ask a question. Okay, go ahead, brother.
This is Jamil from College Park. It's a question about actually the last seminar and about the Quran. You said that you got like an ijazah in Tajweed or something. I just want to know, what's an ijazah?
An ijazah is, it's like, ijazah basically means permission. And an ijazah is when you recite to like a sheikh. And once you recite to a sheikh, like it took me 1 year, and I recited to the sheikh in Masjid Nabawi, in the Prophet's mosque, for an entire year. And, you know, page by page, he would correct my tajweed. And at the end of the Quran, he gave me permission to teach tajweed, which is like, ijazah basically means it's a chain of narrators that leads all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then it's like an isnad, a chain of narrators leading back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I have like an isnad stamped from, you know, Masjid Nabawi, the masjid from my teacher all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's an ijazah.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
I had a question about regarding health. Like, usually we do exercise, three times a week or so. So during Ramadan, if the exercise time used to be in the daytime, how do you do it? Like, you know, is there any precautions? Or?
You do exercise what? How many times a week?
Like, say, three times a week, right? So, during the daytime. So, during Ramadan, I usually used to stop it, so.
Okay, here's the thing. When you're fasting, there's, like, the body is healing itself during the fasting from just, like, a health perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the heart is healing as well. So your metabolism goes down, like, it slows down. That's why there's a tendency for people after Ramadan to gain weight so quickly, because their body's not, like, it's the metabolism slowed down. So what I'd recommend is, even if you're fasting, to go for, like, some nice walks, right? Not too heavy exercise, but not no exercise as well. So you're going for some nice, like, 30-minute, 45-minute walk or something like that, and inshallah ta'ala, you'll get, like, a lot of benefit from the fasting when you do that.
Jazakum.
Other questions? Sorry, say that again.
The heart wheel, the heart wheel journal, was that something that you intended for us to use over Ramadan, or should we start using it from tomorrow?
The heart wheel journal was intended for Ramadan. That was like the purpose of the 30 day, but it can be used any 30 days. Like, it's not specific to Ramadan, no. It's just like, it's something that, it just works perfectly with Ramadan, but you can do it after Ramadan, you can do it as many months as you want. It is intense. If you do it day by day, you'll feel a difference. There's so much focus, guided focus, on increasing your iman in the heart wheel journal. Like, it's like, you're on a total iman rush. And then after you do it, it might be so intense, you'd be like, you need to chill after it, and then come back maybe 3 months later and then do it again for another month. Allah alam. But if you want to start it before Ramadan, that's no big deal. Actually, there's a really cool feature to the Heartwheel Journal, and those are the celebration days. You want to, after you print it out and you bind it, choose what you're going to do on your celebration day. So go through the, like on day 4, on day 9, day, you know, something 19 or something like that. Write down that you're going to treat yourself in some specific way. Maybe there's something you wanted to buy for yourself that you haven't bought, you know, buy it for you, celebration day. Maybe there was a restaurant that had some special meal that you enjoy. You know, write it down. That's your celebration day. It's not good to celebrate with food, though. Maybe you need to celebrate some other way. And you might actually find it's difficult to find out how to celebrate. But go for it. Anyhow. Hey, other questions?
I don't know if anybody else is having this difficulty. I tried to download the DL Interactive, and but it's when I try to install it, it just gives me an error saying DL Reader cannot configure itself.
Are you using like a Mac?
No. I'm Windows.
What kind of Windows do you use?
XP.
XP. Okay, try it again, inshallah. Windows XP, because I have Windows XP as well, and it's working on mine.
Okay.
So maybe there's something blocking it or something like that. Other questions?
Would you recommend a woman to pray in the masjid for Taraweeh or at home?
I'd recommend that the woman pray at the masjid for Taraweeh simply because people have a tendency when they pray at home to be lazy. They're already not motivated when they're at home. So come Ramadan time, Shaitan can play games saying, oh, you know, don't go to masjid, pray at home. But when they're at home, Shaitan can play games with them saying, you're tired, just nap, you wake up later. And then days of Ramadan, which are very critical, pass by without the person being motivated. Allah anam. If you're the type that prays Qiyam al-Layl like all year long, and Ramadan time comes in, you're going to do more than what they do in the masjid, then I'd say pray at home. But that's not the case for most people. Other questions? I'll take like 2 more questions and we'll be done. You probably have to unmute yourself. All right, we're done, inshallah ta'ala. We'll see you on the Ask My Coach. And what I actually would recommend, if you've made some commitments, some visions for Ramadan time, I would say post it on the outcome peppers. Say that my outcome for Ramadan is such and such. There's power in verbalizing what you're planning to do, inshallah ta'ala, and to be in a gathering of people who are committed to similar things. Inshallah ta'ala is something really powerful. So go for it. After this, just go to the forums and just start plugging in what your outcome is for Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll see you and talk to you soon, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.